Welcome to Doers of the Word with David Middleton, pastor of Jesus' Lord Outreach Center in Phoenix, Arizona. This radio program will teach you the practical knowledge of the Word of God and give answers to your questions about the problems in your life so that you can live in victory. Open your heart and mind as Pastor Middleton shares the uncompromised Word with you today.
Praise the Lord. This is David Middleton welcoming you to the Doers of the Word radio program. We're teaching you the uncompromised Word of God. We've been sharing with you on the subject of the blood of Jesus, and now we're talking about the unscriptural traditions about the blood of Jesus. We're examining questions, statements, practices concerning the blood of Jesus among Christians to find out if they're of the truth. What about Rahab and the scarlet thread in the window? The scarlet thread showed the Israelites were to be protected. Who was to be protected and not destroyed when they came to conquer the city? What was happening? God was sending the Israelites to conquer the city. The scarlet thread didn't protect them from the enemy. No, it protected him from the Israelites, which was God's judgment coming to destroy that city. So the scarlet thread indicated they were to be preserved because they'd hidden the spies and they were protected from what? God's judgment upon the enemies. Some say that, well, you're supposed to ask God to cover yourselves with the blood of Jesus every day. No, that's not true. There's no scripture on that. For one, the person who says this, he at least acknowledges that we don't do something with the blood. He, of course, knows who applies the blood, but he asks God to cover us with the blood in order to see it applied in our life. Is there a scripture for us to ask God to cover us with his blood? Give me chapter and verse. No. What causes the blood of Jesus to be applied? The answer is the blood's applied when we confess our sins and or walk in the light of the Word of God, and the blood's automatically applied by Jesus. We don't ask him to cover us. Anybody ever pray to be covered with the blood of Jesus or ask him to cover him in the Bible? Nope. It's not in the Bible. That means it's an unscriptural practice and error and false teaching. Here's another question. A minister was asked, how often do we ask God to cover us with the blood? His answer was, you do it every time you pray. Well, do we need to ask God to cover us with the blood every time we pray? No. Did anyone do that in the Bible? No. What do we need to do before we pray? We need to be sure that we've confessed our sins or in right fellowship with God. Now, when we're in right fellowship with God, the blood of Jesus Christ is automatically applied to us by Jesus. Because we're in right fellowship with God, then he's going to hear the prayers of the righteous. If we're abiding in right fellowship by walking in the light of the Word of God, the blood of Jesus continually keeps us cleansed. And the Father will hear our prayers as we pray in line with the Word. Nowhere in the Bible did anyone always cover themselves with the blood before they began to pray. Again, false teaching. Another statement, you cover yourselves with the blood to appropriate all the benefits of the cross, such as protection, access, forgiveness, security in God's grace, redemption, reconciliation, cleansing, sanctification, dwelling in God's presence, and victory. This is saying that you cover yourself with the blood to appropriate all these benefits. Is that true? No, it's not true. First of all, we don't cover ourselves with the blood. We've already seen that. Jesus is the one who applies them when we confess our sins and or walk in light of the Word of God. Secondly, Jesus accomplished all of these listed benefits for us that we just mentioned through the cross and resurrection. Experientially, how do we see these come to pass? We receive these benefits from the Lord through our faith. See, we act on the Word, don't we? Some of these, that reconciliation, redemption, sanctification, they're actually received at the point of the new birth. As others, such as cleansing, protection, or dwelling in God's presence and obtaining victory, they're received experientially in the life of a believer as he does what the Word of God says to appropriate the promise. You know, for example, we're cleansed through the Word, John 15:3, but we're also cleansing ourselves from all the filthiness of the flesh and spirit to perfect holiness to fear of God. We obtain victory over the world through our faith. And over the devil as we use the authority delegated to us in the name of Jesus. We're protected by the angels of God when we speak the Word of God, or when we pray to the Father for the angels to be sent to minister protection for us for the heirs of salvation. Therefore, we don't do anything with the blood to appropriate the benefits of the work of Jesus Christ through the cross and resurrection. Instead, we act on the Word of God with our faith to appropriate all of his benefits. Again, this is false teaching. Another statement. Don't believers need to cover themselves with the blood to be protected in their walk here on earth? The answer is no. I never do anything to cover myself with the blood. It's false teaching. There's no scripture which tells us to cover ourselves with the blood in order to be protected here on the earth. Where does protection come from in the earth? Think about it. Who or what protects us? The answer is the angels of God, not the blood. Through the Word of God in the Old and New Testament, who is always protecting God's people? The angels. Hebrews 1:14. Let's just give you a few scriptures. Angels are revealed as ministering spirits sent forth to minister for us the heirs of salvation. Exodus chapter 23, verse 20 and 23, the angels are revealed as going to prepare our way and bring us unto the enemies to overcome them. He says, "Behold, I'll send an angel before thee to keep thee in the way, to bring thee in the place which I prepared. For mine angel go before thee and bring thee in unto all these enemies, and I'll cut them off." Psalms 34, verse 7, "The angel of the Lord encampeth round about them that fear him and delivereth them." How about in Psalms 35, verse 5 and 6? "Let the angel of the Lord chase them. Let the angel of the Lord persecute them." So he chases and persecutes the enemy on our behalf. How about in Isaiah 37, 36? "Then the angel of the Lord went forth and smote in the camp of the Assyrians 185,000. The angels smote the enemies. How about in Daniel 3, in verse 28, with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? It says, "Blessed be the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who has sent his angel and delivered his servants that trusted in him." God's angel delivered the three Hebrew children from the fire in the furnace. How about Daniel? In Daniel chapter 6, verse 22, Daniel in the lion's den, he said, "My God hath sent his angel and hath shut the lion's mouth, that they have not hurt me." So God sent the angel to shut the lion's mouth. How about Psalms 91, verse 11? "For he shall give his angels charge over thee to keep thee in all thy ways." You know, the angels have charge over us to keep us in all of our ways when we meet the conditions of the preceding verses, and it talks about in Psalms 91. In Matthew 26, 53, Jesus said he could have prayed to his Father and he had him send 12 legions of angels to come to his aid to deliver him out of the situation. We know that out of Matthew 26, 53. How about in Acts 5, 19? "The angel of the Lord by night opened the prison doors and brought him forth." In the book of Acts, that's the way they got protected. That's the way they got guided. The angels spoke to them. They got delivered out of all these things through the work of the angels. How about in Acts chapter 12? Remember, Peter was delivered from Herod by the angel of the Lord because the church, they were involved in praying, remember? Well, the angel of the Lord came upon him, and light shined in the prison, smote Peter on the side, raised him up, saying, "Rise up quickly," and his chains fell off from his hands. And then in verse 11, he says, "No, of a surety that the Lord has sent his angel and hath delivered me out of the hand of Herod." Angels deliver and protect believers in the earth. Never is the blood used for protection in the book of Acts. The teaching that believers are to cover themselves with the blood to be protected is false teaching. Here's another statement. The blood does not cover us automatically, but you have to ask for his protection with the blood. Now that statement's also false. Is there any scripture that instructs us to ask the Father for his protection with the blood? No. First of all, the blood is not what protects us in the earth, it's the angels, as we saw. The scripture that reveals the truth about how the blood's applied to our life is 1 John 1, 7, which states that if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin. What's our part? Our part's to walk in the light of the Word of God. What's his part? His part that he applies the blood so that we are continually cleansed. So it is automatically applied by Jesus, but only when we meet the conditions. So we don't ask the Lord to cover us with his blood for our protection. That is false teaching. Another minister says, when we ask God to cover us with the blood of Jesus, he honors that because it, the blood, represents the name of Jesus and what that name is all about. Oh, that sounds like a good one. No. Is that true? Absolutely not. Totally false. Actually, we already answered this statement concerning asking God to cover us with the blood of Jesus, but what about the blood of Jesus representing the name of Jesus? Well, that's false as well. The blood does not represent the name of Jesus. The blood speaks of his life given his redemptive work to reconcile us to God. The name of Jesus speaks of his authority. His name is given to believers as the power of attorney to do the works of God with his authority. We actively do everything in the name of Jesus. That's what the Bible says in Colossians. Are we told to do things in the blood of Jesus or with the blood? No. We actively do nothing with the blood of Jesus. This minister is trying to bring the blood of Jesus over into the area of authority to use against the devil. That's not a weapon used against the devil, as we talked about. And the blood of Jesus is never used in the book of Acts or in the entire Bible as applying authority to overcome the enemy. We also don't pray or do anything in the blood or with the blood of Jesus. Instead, we do everything in the authority of the name of Jesus. This minister also has stated that the name and the blood are not in competition with each other, and that you can use either one of them. In other words, this minister is saying that you can cast out demons, pray, or do anything in either the name of Jesus or with the blood of Jesus. Never did anyone cast out demons, pray, or do anything with the blood of Jesus in the Bible. This again is false teaching. Are there any scriptures instructing us to use the blood in warfare and prayer? No. Nowhere in the Bible was the blood used in warfare or prayer against the enemy. The blood of Jesus has brought believers into a relationship and fellowship with God. It deals with our relationship and fellowship with God. The name of Jesus is the power of attorney given to us to do all things in the earth and in the heavens, where we take dominion over the evil spirits. Through the blood, we have relationship and fellowship with God so that we can do all things in the earth in the name of Jesus. Here's another statement. Most ministers teach that believers are to plead the blood of Jesus. Do we plead the blood? Well, no. Before we answer this, of course, we've got to think about what does it mean, plead the blood. When they say plead the blood, they're usually referring to making a spiritual legal declaration for the blood to be applied in some manner. Did anybody ever specifically plead the blood in the Bible? The answer is no. Is the word plead in the Bible? Yes, it is. We find the word 39 times in the Old Testament. Plead is used 39 times. You never find it in the New Testament. There's four different Hebrew words translated plead, and they all speak of pleading a cause. The general meaning of the words is to strive or contend with a person, hold a controversy, engage in a legal contest, prove something, or maintain a cause before a judge or defend. So to summarize it, meaning to plead is a legal terminology to conduct a legal case to prove, defend, or maintain a cause before a judge. The term plead my cause, it's used in 1 Samuel 24:15, and some other scriptures. The term pleaded the cause, found in 1 Samuel 25:39. The pleading of my lips is in Job 13:6. Also, the pleading thine own cause in Psalms 74:22. Plead their cause in Proverbs 22:23. And pleaded the causes, like in Lamentations 3:58. And plead together in Isaiah 43:26. In all these scriptures, the legal pleading is made so that the judge will deliver, keep from evil, judge righteously, justify, execute judgment against an enemy. Do a little study on it. In a legal case, a defense attorney pleads a client's case before the judge against the accusations of the prosecuting attorney. What's the defense attorney plead before a judge? He pleads the law, and the client gives testimony that he's not broken the law. Because the law has not been broken, he's not guilty. In the life of a believer in Christ, our Heavenly Father is the judge, and Jesus is our heavenly advocate or defense attorney. Satan's the prosecuting attorney who brings us accusations against us. Well, when we're accused of Satan, the prosecuting attorney, by him, we speak the word of God, which is a spiritual law of God, declaring it's written. Jesus, our heavenly attorney, takes the word we speak and pleads that spiritual law before the Father, who's the judge. And it's the word of our testimony shows the judge if we're guilty or not. Attorney Jesus also pleads or declares that we've confessed our sins and are walking in light of the word of God. And the blood of Jesus has cleansed us and continually keeps us cleansed of all of our sins. Because of the word which we do and the blood which has been applied by Jesus, the accusations are found to be groundless and were declared not guilty by the Father who judges in righteousness. Thus we, the believer in Jesus, plead together the word, which is spiritual law, to overcome Satan's accusations. The result of our walking in the word is that the blood is applied by Jesus to cleanse us. We don't plead the blood. We plead the word. The Bible teaches us to speak the word, spiritual law, against Satan's accusations and temptations. Nowhere in the Bible did anybody ever plead the blood. Thus, pleading the blood is unscriptural. I want to make available the book, Understanding the Blood of Jesus, for $6, postage paid. If you would like to get it, please call me at 602-279-5212. Again, to get it, please call 602-279-5212.
We trust you've enjoyed the broadcast today. To purchase books, audios, or videos, please call 1-877-77-DOERS. That's 1-877-773-6377. You can visit our website at www.doersoftheword.org. If this broadcast blesses you, we invite you to become a financial partner so we can take this ministry across the nation. Until we greet you on the next broadcast, may God bless you as you are a consistent doer of the Word of God.